Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. You know, America, we're still digging out from hurricanes that have devastated the Southeast, and we still have a political hurricane underway. The rhetoric is flying fast and furious. We have a vice president and her surrogates claiming that if her opponent is elected, you know, former President Trump, it will be the end of democracy. You know, he was elected, he was in office, and it seems like democracy continued. But they're doing everything possible to take him off the ballot. I find it kind of hard to accept the idea that stopping the democratic process is somehow the best way to protect democracy. Here's some questions I was asked recently that seem to have a point. If Trump was going to destroy America, why didn't he do that in his first term? And if Kamala was going to help America, why didn't she do that in her first term? Good news is that you have a right to your opinion. You may disagree completely with the premise, and that's your democratic right. And you do get a vote. That is also democracy. Joining me for this discussion this morning is the amazing Mike Carter, my longtime friend and colleague. Welcome, Mike.
Well, good to be here again this morning, Kevin, talking democracy. It's such a topic, and yet it's such a misunderstood topic, it seems like, when I just watch the media, each side saying, well, democracy is at threat.
Yeah. Well, before we begin the discussion about democracy, I want to head off something. You know, you don't send me hate mail. I want to be clear. I know we live in a constitutional republic, not a pure democracy. Yes, we use democratic means to elect our representatives, but the government is limited by the Constitution. A pure democracy would be one in which 50.1% of the population could vote to destroy the other 49.9% or take their stuff and redistribute it. So we don't believe in pure democracy, and neither did our founders. We would love to have you write us with your questions and comments, but in this case, please don't write and say, you don't get it. We don't live in a democracy. That's true. We do not live in a democracy. I do get it. But if you have other questions or comments, just email us at this address, afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That's afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Mike, you've heard that battle between pure democracy and democracy.
I did. I've studied it a little bit, probably not as deep as you have, but why did our founders not want a democracy?
Well, they know it tends to become evil. It was democracy that had Barabbas, you know. Which one do you want me to release, Pilate says. And as you want Jesus, the sinless one, you know, the one that loves you and can heal you, or do you want Barabbas, the criminal? They voted for Barabbas.
Yes.
So that's why we don't want a pure democracy.
So if you get a majority to vote, if 50.1% vote for something and the other 49% don't, they've basically taken liberty away from everybody else.
Yeah. What if most people don't vote and only a tiny fraction show up, and then you have a little over half? Just one person more than half, they could wipe out, you know, the democracy. Here's an article in fee.org, Why America's Founders Didn't Want a Democracy. In his book, Liberty in Peril, Randall Holcomb challenges the presumption that liberty and democracy are complementary. He said the founders had no intention of creating a democracy in the sense of a government that would be guided by popular opinion. While the founders wanted those in charge of government's operations to be selected by a democratic process, they also wanted to insulate those who ran the government from direct influence by its citizens, because by insulating political decision makers from direct accountability to citizens, the government would be in a better position to adhere to its constitutionally mandated limits. I'd probably put it a little more succinctly. People can be stupid, and they can be talked into doing stupid things, and you don't want a mob ruling your government.
Yeah, and I saw something also interesting in the article, that the principle of liberty suggests that the first and foremost, the government's role is to protect the rights of individuals. The principle of democracy suggests that collective decisions are made according to the will of the majority. But the fact that the government's there to actually protect individual rights, that's a democracy that I like.
Yeah. Well, that would be democratic means with limited government. You know, you can have a democratic socialism. You can vote yourself into socialism, as they're finding out in Venezuela. It's very hard to vote yourself out of socialism. Once they get control of the means of power, they tend to hold on to it.
So the greater the scope of the democracy in a government, the greater the threat to our liberty. right? If the government has pure democracy and they have more scope, we're under more threat as individuals.
Well, and they're doing this here. They're calling President Trump the greatest threat to democracy itself, so they're going to keep him off the ballot. And the reason is, that, oh, because he had this insurrection. Well, they tried to impeach him before January 6th. They tried to impeach him after January 6th. They tried to keep him off the ballot. But why did they try? Why did they say what he did, this insurrection that was so evil? What did he do to cause that? Well, he was forcing people to break into the Capitol. Did you have those tweets?
I missed all those tweets, although I did see the ones about being peaceful and moving forward. That was a little different than what I think it was interpreted.
Yeah, no, he said in this speech, let your voices peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. That was in his speech. And then he tweeted, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They are truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. That was January 6th.
That sounds like a threat.
Oh, well, he had a worse threat. He says, I'm asking for everyone at the U.S. Capitol to remain peaceful. No violence. Remember, we're the party of law and order. Respect the law and our great men and women in blue. That was also tweeted during the insurrection. That's him agitating them on. And then the last, his final words on Twitter on January 6th, go home with love and in peace. Remember this day forever.
Yeah, and that was all a threat. And we've talked freedom of speech and democracy. That's another topic out there. It seems like that's the kind of speech that doesn't seem violent to me.
Yeah, well, here we go. A couple of days later, after those tweets, Twitter removed the account of a sitting president of the United States, which is amazing. So what's the greatest threat to democracy? Is it Trump, who questioned the election results but said remain peaceful and let your voices be heard? Or was it Twitter who canceled him? And that's our topic for today. And that was a topic in the vice president debate. Let's play clip one.
Now I really understand why Musk decided to rebrand Twitter to X after they're just putting it all together for me. Why, I don't want that.
Yeah, well, let's play clip one because this was a part of the vice president debate.
Look, what President Trump has said is that there were problems in 2020, and my own belief is that we should fight about those issues, debate those issues peacefully in the public square, and that's all I've said, and that's all that Donald Trump has said. Remember, he said that on January the 6th, the protesters ought to protest peacefully. And on January the 20th, what happened? Joe Biden became the president. Donald Trump left the White House. And now, of course, unfortunately, we have all of the negative policies that have come from the Harris-Biden administration. I believe that we actually do have a threat to democracy in this country, but unfortunately, it's not the threat to democracy that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to talk about. It is the threat of censorship. It's Americans casting aside lifelong friendships because of disagreements over politics. It's big technology companies silencing their fellow citizens. And it's Kamala Harris saying that rather than debate and persuade her fellow Americans, she'd like to censor people who engage in misinformation. I think that is a much bigger threat to democracy than anything that we've seen in this country in the last 4 years, in the last 40 years. Now, I'm really proud, especially given that I was raised by two lifelong blue-collar Democrats, to have the endorsement of Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, lifelong leaders in the Democratic coalition. And of course, they don't agree with me and Donald Trump on every issue. We don't have to agree on every issue, but we're united behind a basic American First Amendment principle that we ought to debate our differences. We ought to argue about them. We ought to try to persuade our fellow Americans. Kamala Harris is engaged in censorship at an industrial scale. She did it during COVID. She's done it over a number of other issues. And that to me is a much bigger threat to democracy than what Donald Trump said when he said that protesters should peacefully protest on January the 6th.
Wow, Mike, you heard that. We've got less than a minute before the break, but what are your thoughts?
My question is, what is it they're really trying to censor out there? And if you think about it, they're trying to censor conversation around illegal immigration, what's going across the border there. They're trying to censor talks about inflation, pandemic, Middle East disputes, all the things that are important we should have open dialogue on, but it seems like you don't really want to talk about that, or they don't want to hear another side to that.
So the question is, can you truly have a democratic process if you silence your opponents? Our founders didn't believe that. The founders put First Amendment in there for a reason. All right, let's be honest. Social medias have been suppressing free speech with the government's help. We're going to cover this and more after we come back from this break. But J.D. Vance was right on this one, I think.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and on this Saturday, we're talking about the issue of the greatest threat to democracy. And we've already said it. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic that's a constitutional republic with limits on government. But we do get to vote for our representatives, and that is a democratic process. The Harris team is saying the greatest threat to democracy is Donald Trump himself. The Trump team with J.D. Vance is pushing back and saying, no, the greatest threat to democracy is really the stifling of free speech. Now, there was a Twitter campaign to cancel President Trump. I mean, they canceled a sitting president based on the tweets that he had on January 6th. They did it for political purposes because a thorough review proved that Trump's final tweets did not violate the company's terms of service, according to documents that were unearthed in a House investigation. So, Mike, did you see those tweets that came out? This is internal communications inside Twitter looking at President Trump's tweets and judging whether or not they violated terms of service. Did you see those?
Yeah. I mean, crazy to see the control that's taking place there and how the narratives are being manipulated from that perspective. The deeper you dig, the more concerning it is.
Yeah, well, here it is. I mean, this is Friday, January 8th, and an email. They blocked out the names because Congress did the investigation. It says, I don't see the incitement of fear. What PC could it be trying to incite fear about? I don't see the incitement of fear. I think we've had a hard time saying this is incitement. It's pretty clear he's saying the American patriots are ones who voted for him and not the terrorists. We can call them that, right? Here's another tweet. Don't see in the incitement angle here. Just dropping in to say he tweeted again, but it's clear no violation. It's just to say he's not attending the inauguration. So they canceled President Trump because they said he was inciting to riots and he was trying to cause an insurrection. And internally, the leftist people at Twitter reviewed them. Just to update you, I spoke to blank just now. They understand our assessment of this individual tweet, but they now view him as the leader of a terrorist group responsible for violence, deaths comparable to Christchurch shooter or Hitler. And on that basis and on the totality of his tweets, he should be deplatformed. They will continue to push that argument with leadership, and we will see where it falls. Less than an hour later, Twitter announced Trump's permanent suspension due to the risk of further incitement to violence. Wow. A social media company took off the sitting president, just canceled him. You can't let your voice be heard, even though internally they admitted he wasn't inciting to anything.
Yeah, I think just the headline, FBI colluded with Twitter to suppress free speech. That alone is shocking.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Newsweek.com opinion, January 21st, 2022. For the past few weeks, journalists have been reporting that they found the Twitter files, thousands and thousands of documents they were given access to by Twitter's new owner and CEO, billionaire Elon Musk. The revelations have been astonishing and deeply troubling, exposing solid evidence of collusion between top executives of the FBI and their cozy counterparts at Twitter. So what we just had is we have literal proof. They canceled the president of the United States so he could not make his case. They accused him of inciting to violence when internally they admitted he wasn't doing it. Nothing he did was a violation. They kicked him off anyway, and they were colluding with the FBI. If that's not deep state, I don't know what you call it. What do you think?
It's not democracy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, it's not democracy. But who they did not kick off, I'll tell you, in October 2020, the former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad said it was the right of Muslims to kill millions of French people. Twitter deleted the tweet, but allowed Mohamad to stay on the platform. The president of Nigeria, also Muhammadu Buhari, incited violence against pro-Biafra groups. Those of us in the fields for 30 months who went through the war will treat them in the language they understand. Twitter deleted the tweet but didn't ban him. Twitter executives did ban Trump, but they did not ban the Ayatollah. The bottom line is these people have been inciting violence literally and causing hatred. They don't get banned, but Trump gets banned. There's something really terribly wrong with that.
It's consistent with everything you put in according to plan. I mean, there's narratives. There's the three-letter agencies in many cases are working against the will of the people, and they're trying to control a narrative, they're trying to control a conversation. And when you see this happen to a sitting president, but you see it happen, you know, dictators or whoever doing something completely different, and that's okay. That's where it just is just hard to believe that this is happening in America.
Well, at least it was just Twitter and Elon's bought that. It didn't happen at Facebook, did it?
I'm afraid it gets worse.
Yeah, you got that headline from Politico?
Politico. Zuckerberg says he regrets caving to White House pressure on content. So we got the FBI pressuring these things. We got the White House pressuring these
But it
companies.
Was the Biden White House. He admitted flat out in his letter to Chairman Jim Jordan, he bottom line apologized to the American people for allowing the White House to control the narrative on COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to wear a mask. Anybody who said that masks don't work got banned, even though Fauci himself said masks don't work at the beginning of COVID. They don't work. But when an American stood up and said that, kick them off. Why? The White House forced them to.
Yeah. And you called that in some of our economic war room shows during that whole pandemic era. And again, this is not about free speech, and it's clearly not about democracy. It's about a narrative and being able to kind of control and modulate messages that go out there. And it's continuing to happen. The fact that it's the FBI, the fact that it's the White House, says it's really important that we vote for our values and what we believe in this upcoming election.
Oh, we do. You know, and people say, well, you know, you don't have to be on Twitter. You could go to an alternative and build your own if you want to do something different. So they built one called Parler. And on January 8th, when they kicked Trump off, he moved to Parler and started posting there. And Parler got booted by Amazon, Apple, and Google. This is from CNN.com, January 11th. Parler, the alternative social media platform favored by conservatives, now finds itself virtually homeless on the internet as Amazon, Apple, and Google have all booted it from their platforms in a span of little more than 24 hours. Talk about controlling the narrative.
Well, that was probably a democracy. We had Amazon, Apple, and Google all vote to say, oh, we don't want Parler. We don't know one other competitor out there.
Total collusion by the very companies that were censoring on behalf of the government. So much for parallel systems.
Did you see there was an interview a week or so ago, and there was the head of the Teamsters Union, and he said, Democrats have sold out to big tech. He goes, we've given $15.7 million to the party, and we've given maybe $370,000 to Republicans. But when you see messages like this where Amazon, Apple, Google, all these people are working, they're not representing the people in this case. They've sold out.
No, we have absolute proof now of social media companies colluding with government to control what you're allowed to think and speak. Even labor unions are admitting this is absolutely a threat to the democratic process. Zuckerberg knows it. He had to write an apology. And Elon Musk knows it. Let's listen to this clip from Elon Musk at the recent Trump rally when he went back to Butler after he'd been shot.
And free speech. Free speech is the bedrock of democracy. And if people don't know what's going on, if they don't know the truth, how can you make an informed vote? You must have free speech in order to have democracy. That's why it's the First Amendment. And the Second Amendment is there to ensure that we have the First Amendment. President Trump must win to preserve the Constitution. He must win to preserve democracy in America.
There's Elon Musk talking. He says you must have free speech in order to have democracy. If they could miraculously take Trump, off the playing field some way, put him in jail or remove him from the ballot or, God forbid, have someone, you know, harm him. Would that preserve democracy? Not if you have complete control of free speech, if you eliminate what people can think and say and do. That's why we have a First Amendment. And Elon Musk put his money where his mouth was, $44 billion to buy Twitter and turn it into X and make sure it's a free speech platform. Critics told him he's crazy, but he knew the stakes.
Yeah, I mean, you got to compliment him for taking the stand. I don't know what his motives were overall, but it appears like he does care about free speech. What he's saying up there, he's taking a stand, and he's even kind of joking. Like, it's important we win this because I don't know what's going to happen to me
Yeah.
And when he says that as a very successful, typically networked in, one of the most richest guys in the world, and he's concerned about free speech and about his own potential safety or personal security, this is not the America that I grew up in.
How much more so for us? And he's putting his money where his mouth is, and money does play a role in all this, and you're responsible for the money too. Luke 16:11 says, if you're not faithful with how you handle money, no one will trust you with true riches. So we got to get the money part right. Now, I'm grateful for people who allow us to put this program on. There are really only three things you can be doing with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three of those areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room that we host and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, silence your opponents. That's the surest way to a one-party state. Look at what Brazil did when they banned X. They just recently took him out from under the ban. X was banned because it allowed criticism of the Brazilian government that the government labeled as misinformation. And the courts in Brazil are controlled by the government, so it ruled to ban X, and that's threatened to jail Elon Musk. In California, Governor Newsom rammed through a bill criminalizing political memes, just jokes, as misinformation. Why? So the Democrats' unchecked power in the Golden State would never be threatened. I lived there when Republicans were strong. Reagan had been governor there. But once they got control, it's become a one-party state, and they were literally trying to end our free speech rights.
I mean, political cartoons, which is basically what a meme is, that's been going on since we've had press. And now we're banning that? I mean, how in your face can that be?
But it's true. Here it is, American Journal Daily. California governor passes anti-free speech bill, but federal judge strikes it down because it violates the First Amendment. It's exactly, they're trying to keep you from thinking, believing, speaking, or whatever. They're trying to control what you think and what you say. Wow. If you rule in favor of that law and not the First Amendment, you literally hand the government over to one-party rule. And that's what they're trying to do. That's what they've accomplished in Venezuela and other places. Democrats have begun to attack free speech and the First Amendment, and they've
one
begun
judge
to
away.
Attack. Yeah.
One judge away from that actually becoming a law there in California.
That's true. What did prominent Democrats say? They tried to create a ministry of truth. We'll talk about this and more, the real threat to democracy, right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm talking with the great Mike Carter, and we're talking about the true threat to democracy. No, I understand. We live in a constitutional republic, but we use democratic means. And the threat to democracy, is it Donald J. Trump, or is it the attack on free speech? I want to point out an article I read here in Blaze. It was August 8th that says the feds tried to create an American Ministry of Truth. Elon Musk had other plans. Basically, the U.S. government bureaucrats wanted to create a Ministry of Truth, but Elon Musk and X's efforts thwarted them for the moment. This is based on George Orwell. Do they really want to nuke the First Amendment? Let's listen to them in their own voice. We've got the vice president with a running for president now, talking about what we need to do with free speech. Play clip three, if you could.
I frankly think that based on this and all we've seen him do before, including attacking members of Congress, that he frankly should be, his Twitter account should be suspended. I think there is plenty of now evidence to suggest that he is irresponsible with his words in a way that could result in harm to other people. And so the privilege of using those words in that way should probably be taken from him.
All right. We've already covered in this show, we've covered how Twitter themselves internally said, no, he didn't break any of our rules. No. But the vice president candidate at that time, she was senator running for vice president. She goes out publicly and says Twitter ought to remove him. And what does Twitter do?
Yeah, they decided that made sense. And again, this is the same person we saw on The View just a week or two ago saying that she'd changed nothing that happened during her current administration. Now, she was maybe running for office then, but her views have not changed. That censorship piece continues to be something that I think we're going to see consistently from that administration.
Well, we certainly see it from her vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, at the VP debate, attacked misinformation and said it's the same as shouting fire in a crowded theater, and then he supported banning political speech. Constitutional experts have called him out on it. This is USA Today. Opinion: Vance is right, Harrison Walz are a threat to Americans' free speech. This is Jonathan Turley, is a noted constitutional attorney. We are living through the most dangerous anti-free speech movement in American history. And I'll read just what he said. He said, in the vice presidential debate Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz pulled the fire alarm. His opponent, Senator J.D. Vance, a Republican of Ohio, cited the massive system of censorship supported by the vice president Kamala Harris and her running mate Walz, and proceeded to quote a line from a 1919 case in which the Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "You do not have the right to falsely yell fire in a crowded theater." Well, that, of course not. That is criminal. Absolutely, you're caught trying to cause a panic. But Trump wasn't doing that on January 6th when he said peacefully right. and patriotically let
party
your voice
of law
be heard.
And order, all that stuff.
Yeah, there's no way. Recently, Walz went on MSNBC to support censoring disinformation, declared there's no guarantee to free speech or misinformation or hate speech, especially around our democracy. Turley, constitutional scholar, says that's entirely untrue and shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the right called indispensable by the Supreme Court. Even after some of us condemned his claim as ironically dangerous disinformation, he continues to repeat it. So we've got Harris, Walz. What does Biden say? What has Biden done? We know from his actions. His actions speak louder than words. Do you have that judiciary document there on weaponization?
Weaponization. Washington, D.C. Today, the House Judiciary Committee and the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of Federal Government released an interim staff report titled "The Censorship Industrial Complex: How Top Biden White House Officials Coerced Big Tech to Censor Americans, True Information, and Critics of the Biden Administration." That sounds like what I used to study that Russia was about, you know, when I was a kid in history.
Yeah, no, that's what they tell you Russia was about, that they didn't want you to know the truth. It's not just Biden, it's not just Walz, it's not just Harris, but also Secretary Hillary Clinton. She's literally called for criminal charges for those who post information supporting Trump that she calls misinformation or propaganda. We've got two clips. Let's play clip four and hear in her own words.
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
Basically, she said she wants to put you in jail if you say something pro-Trump that she deems to be propaganda. We've got another clip from her.
Even if we got time, let's go back to this report, that Weaponization Committee report. The report details that the months-long campaign by the Biden White House to coerce large companies, namely Facebook, Google, and Amazon, to censor books, videos, posts, and other content online. By the end of 2021, Facebook and YouTube, Amazon changed their content moderation policies in ways that were directly responsive to criticism from the Biden administration. She wants to control misinformation, she says, but misinformation is determined by what? That Ministry of Truth now, right?
Right.
They're the truth.
Right. Even when they are proven to be false, like some of the claims that the virus did not emerge from a lab, and yet the intelligence agencies say that it's most likely that it did. If you said, "We think it came from a lab," misinformation, you're cut off. Well, all right. So we played Clinton talking about criminal charges for those who post information supporting Trump. There's a headline. She says the quiet part out loud calls for mass censorship of American citizens or we lose total control. And then we've got another clip from her. Can you play clip 4B?
What is something you see happening in the near future that we should be taking more seriously?
Well, I do think that the press needs a consistent narrative. I mean, the press that's not supporting Trump blatantly, very persistently, the press that's trying to be the press, be objective, be, you know, reporting the facts, the press needs a consistent narrative about the danger that Trump poses.
So what she just said is if you're supporting Trump, you're not objective. And that, she said previously, you should be silenced. You should not be allowed to report anything that is pro-Trump. And then the second thing she says is then anybody else has to have a consistent message, and it has to be consistently anti-Trump.
It was a little bit of a word salad. I wonder if she and Kamala had been working on their narratives together. But that stood out to me. The press needs a consistent narrative about the danger Trump poses. So again, we got to tell the press what they should be saying out there, and it needs to be consistent.
That's right. And we've seen those videos of consistency where every TV station says exactly the same thing, and they always use the phrase, a threat to our democracy, if you notice that.
Yes, yes.
All right, so we've got John Kerry, who was a presidential candidate and certainly prominent in the Obama administration, a secretary and all of that. We've got him. Let's play John Kerry basically saying the same thing everybody else has said, so we see that this is a persistent and consistent Democrat message.
The dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You can't, you know, there's no, the referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact have kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree. And people go, and that people self-select where they go for their news or for their information. And then you just get into a vicious cycle. So it's really, really hard, much harder to build consensus today than at any time in the 45, 50 years I've been involved in this. And you know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
There's so much that he said in there. Winning enough votes means we just have to get 50% plus one. Then he said that we have to pound out or hammer out or eliminate any alternative voices. Then he acknowledged that something changed, and here's what changed. It's the internet and your ability to look things up and find truth on your own or hear alternative voices. Rush Limbaugh started this process, but then there are all these others that emerged, Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and others, Sarah Carter and others that have come out with truth, Just the News, and so many good sources. They want to hammer them out of existence.
Yeah. My takeaway on it, what I heard, this is about controlling the people, is a narrative he had about controlling the people with what they think is truth, and dissenting views are not good.
And they want to get rid of the First Amendment.
Yeah.
He said it flat out. All right, here's Adam Schiff from Breitbart. And by the way, I want to give credit to Adam Schiff. We had an episode that we did on the Armenian genocide and how Adam Schiff is actually helping some people there, which is awesome. But in this case, he's terrible. Adam Schiff demands election misinformation crackdown through social media censorship. That's the headline from Breitbart. So what do you do if you can't listen to alternative voices? What do you do for finding out what's going on in the world, the facts, right?
Yeah. I mean, even myself, I will watch a little bit of Fox. I'll watch a little bit of CNN, a little bit of MSNBC, because I want to hear what the different narratives are out there so I can make my own decision. Now, a lot of people are time starved. They don't have time to do that. Hopefully that's why they come to shows like ours where we can kind of sort through and say, okay, here's what they're saying. Here's what we see, and backup links behind that.
Well, how do you go check it out? We've had on Economic War Room program a man named Dr. Robert Epstein. He's a great guy. He's a brilliant guy. Psychology Today editor, one of the smartest psychologists in the world. He's a liberal Democrat. He, to my knowledge, I don't believe he's not Christian. I don't think he's religious at all. But he's done a study on Google and how Google, we told you, Google helped eliminate Parler, so any other free speech. Here's an article on theblaze.com, the Democrats' new disinformation power grab, and starts off, and this is October 6th. It says, the term Orwellian gets thrown around today like baby lotion at a oh, I don't even want to say that. Can you believe what's there? Oh my gosh, Breitbart, come on, clean it up a little bit. It gets thrown around a lot today, but sometimes it's the only word that fits. Right now, as we look at the path the United States is heading down, Orwellian feels all too appropriate. And he quotes Dr. Robert Epstein, former editor-in-chief of Psychology Today and expert in big tech's impact on public opinion, has been documenting Google's manipulative practices for years.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had him on the show. We've had him speak. You helped coordinate an event, get him out at Liberty University. But this is a big deal to be able to sway an election with misinformation. And it's happening.
That is happening. Well, we believe in free speech at Pirate Money Radio. You may want to exercise your free speech right with comments or questions. You can email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. You may disagree completely. You may think that Trump is the biggest threat to the democracy that we've ever faced. Or you might think that limiting free speech is. Good news is you still have free speech with us. We will welcome your opinion. We will welcome your thoughts. But you got to worry about the left, which controls the big networks, including Google. That was a brilliant, brilliant essay written about Dr. Epstein. We'll have more on this right after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking about free speech, and canceling free speech may be the biggest threat to democracy, much bigger than they claim that President Trump is. But the far left, they control the big networks. They control Google and so forth. But they also control like CBS. And there's a brilliant piece by Dr. Robert Malone featuring Lara Logan. We had her on this program just a few weeks ago. She gave testimony to Congress. She was CBS News' number one reporter. And she was on 60 Minutes. And she calls out her former network and just basically says, no, the network, CBS, they're in the tank for censoring speech and controlling with a leftist agenda. Now, MSNBC, we all know MSNBC has a liberal bias. But James O'Keefe did some brilliant reporting recently where he actually got down to the truth with his little secret hidden camera technique. Can we play that clip number six?
So do you feel like MSNBC is doing enough to help the Harris campaign?
I mean, they're doing all they can.
Meet Basil Hamden, a writer and producer for MSNBC's weekend show, Iman. Basil also reveals that, quote, what her message of the day is their MSNBC's message of the day.
What have they done to help the Harris campaign?
Amplify her message. What her message of the day is their message of the day.
Hamden revealed that MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece and is doing anything to get Kamala elected. Hamden says, this news network is indistinguishable from the Democratic Party.
So is MSNBC just like doing whatever it takes to get Kamala elected?
Yes, yes. It hammers home the point that I'm making, that this news network is indistinguishable from the party.
Are they just the Democratic Party's mouthpiece?
Exactly.
MSNBC is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece.
Yes, yes.
Mike, did you notice how gleefully he said that?
Yeah. Yes, yes. And you know, and this is the Democratic market. This is the Democratic Party's mouthpiece. Connect the dots. I mean, you've done such a good job in the book, According to Plan. For those that haven't seen it, I encourage people to consider just picking that up, reading it wherever they can, because it literally, this is what's happening. And we're seeing it play right before our eyes here.
No, we are seeing it. And so we've covered Google, which is biased. Dr. Epstein's proven that. The social media companies, with the exception of X, but certainly Twitter and Facebook and others, represent bias and have admitted the bias or have been exposed. Then we have 60 Minutes, Lara Logan exposed, James O'Keefe just exposed MSNBC. The threat is real. And now they have new forms of censorship. One of them, of course, is fact-checking. And here's New York Post from October 3rd. It says, fact-check has just become another word for censorship. And then door knocking. Have you seen this, Mike, about the door knocking, the FBI showing up at your door, questioning what post you have? Talk about intimidation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one of the articles out there said, if that happens now, don't let them in because they don't have a search warrant. You just keep them outside, say, it's best you talk to my attorney. But that is, again, we're living behind the Berlin Wall or something here. It's like, this can't be happening in America, but it is. And that's why it's so, this election is so important. It is about democracy, republic democracy. But yet we still see a lot of Christians out there that say, I'm not going to vote. And that's concerning.
Oh, well, I heard this from a preacher last week. They said, you don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, you know, you married the lesser of evils. The person you married is not perfect. And we make those choices all the time. There is nothing perfect. No food that you're being served is perfect and can be healthy. So you take the less evil food for your body. Or sometimes you take the more evil because it tastes better. I don't know. But but every decision, we've always voted for the lesser two of evils. Jesus has never been on the ballot that I've seen. And other than that, there's something wrong with every candidate. So vote for the one that aligns with free speech. You know,
And as Christians, we're not supposed to just put our head in the sand and avoid what's going on here. And so it's important that, you know, we look at this and we say, okay, what is most aligned with my theology? Is it, am I for life or am I for death? Am I for speech or for, you know, censorship? I mean, important basic things that when we talk about real threats to democracy or even freedom of religion, it is under threat right now.
It is under threat, and I'll tell you, they banned our good friend E.W. Jackson. He's going to come visit us in a couple of weeks here at Liberty Hawk. But he put up a Christian ad that was denied by a Georgia gospel station. And you know what he said? And it basically was, he said, don't vote your skin color if you're a believer, regardless of your skin color. Vote the Christ-like way. Vote. And they rejected the ad. I mean, you listen to the ad and you're like, there's nothing wrong. It's all about voting biblical values. Apparently, for this so-called Christian station, that was a bad thing. They claimed their legal department denied it. Or how about Catholic Vote? Catholic Vote promoted an ad that said that that Vice President Harris has supported taxpayer-funded trans procedures. They had her own words saying it. They had the proof laid out. We actually played that ad on a previous show of Pirate Money Radio, but CBS rejected it. They wouldn't let him do it. Now, here's the one that really gets us is Pirate Money Radio. George Soros has purchased 200 radio stations, Odyssey. Did you see that FCC allowing it?
I did. And crazy the way that was kind of forced through. And I think there's still some steps that can maybe slow this thing down. But the fact that they're making that move to literally silence speech, to literally stop a lot of the voices that are on, 200 conservative, but primarily conservative networks, I believe. And I guarantee you Soros isn't trying to expand that.
Yeah. Now, we don't have absolute proof that they're going to silence speech. What we do have absolute proof of is that the Federal Communication Commission is violating their own internal rules and their longstanding practice of allowing a foreign ownership. They monkey with it and say, well, it's a loan and it's temporary and all this. But going through Soros is not foreign, but foreign money coming in. Let me read. This is from National Religious Broadcasters. Our friend Troy Miller wrote this. He said, the FCC granted its approval on September 30th to restructuring and license transfer that will make a Soros-controlled investment firm the majority shareholder in Odyssey, allowing the nation's second-largest radio company, second-largest, to emerge from bankruptcy. Odyssey can now proceed with its plan to restructure its nearly $1.6 billion in debt. Laurel Tree Opportunities Corp., a group with ties to Soros, backed fund for policy reform, is poised to gain a controlling interest through the reorganization's planned issuance of a new common stock and special warrants. In its decision, the commission rejected a petition to deny filed by the Media Research Center claiming the group lacks standing to challenge the application. The MRC petition argued that there's no question that George Soros and his affiliate businesses are looking to control these radio stations to advance their particular brand of activism and urged the FCC not to create a special Soros shortcut that would circumvent the rules and allow the deal to move forward. The fact that the FCC is apparently willing to bypass the usual protocols to get this transaction done just weeks before a presidential election seriously undermines the commission's credibility and raises unwarranted questions of whether administrative processes are being manipulated to exert political preference.
So to advance their particular brand of activism, what would Pirate Money Radio be like in a world like that, you think? What would we change our name?
Well, can you imagine you tune in and you expect to hear Glenn Beck, and what you hear is Kamala Harris is the greatest woman who's ever lived, and she is, we should worship her. And, you know, can you imagine that if they take over, they'd fire the hosts that are there, they get rid of Pirate Money Radio and all, you know, praise God for American Family Radio that is not for sale and not being sold, and you can support it, it's listener supported and so forth with 200 stations. But you could tune in and you wanted to hear Sean Hannity, and you're not hearing Sean Hannity, and instead you're hearing some left-wing MSNBC host. And you no longer have access.
As we heard earlier, that person controlling the narrative or the mouthpiece for a particular party. And it's not up to the host or the research team to say what we want to talk about. Okay, here's your marching orders. This is what you're going to say today.
That's right. They could put it out there, and you know, all right. So you couldn't get answers on Google because they've stifled it. You can't get radio. You can't get it in social media. They're taking complete control over the ability to think and speak. And I want to give you just a crazy example. When I saw this, I hit the floor. Biologist Richard Dawkins. I almost never agree with biologist Richard Dawkins, who's an atheist, but he's a biologist, right? And he posted on Facebook that male boxers shouldn't fight women. I'll quote from Zero Hedge. Facebook has nuked the account of famed evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins after he said that genetically male boxers should not be allowed to fight women in the Olympics. Do you remember that whole argument? What is a woman? Well, I'm not a biologist. You know, they asked the Supreme Court nominee and she said, I'm not a biologist, so I can't define. All right, this guy is a biologist, and he's not a conservative, and he is not a Christian. He is saying that male boxers should not fight women, and so Facebook says, you're out of here.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, we talk about democracy. We're seeing a control of the narratives. We're seeing a control of information. And one of the things we talk about here on Pirate Money, next one's going to be the control of your money and how you spend that money. And that's why it's so important that we look at all these things, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, economic liberty, the ability to be able to donate or invest and spend your money the way that you want to do it. All these things are at threat right now.
Well, if we hit central bank digital currency, we've talked about that. Is it the mark of the beast? We asked. That was a whole episode on that. Go back and listen to that wherever you get your podcasts. Go back and listen to it. PirateMoneyRadio.com or AFR.net or whatever. Listen to it. Central bank digital currency is literally trying to stifle your free expression. Not only would they cut you off of Facebook, not only would they control what they send to you by Google, not only what you can hear on the radio, but if they get central bank digital currency put in place, they will be able to control your spending. You won't be able to buy food if you say the wrong thing. What's our answer to that?
Transactional gold, state-based, state-backed, Article 1, Section 10, constitutional transactional gold and silver. It is a real solution. It's moving forward in up to 30 states right now. We've had great meetings with treasurers and legislators and excited about what the future looks like as we move that forward in this next session here.
And what do we call transactional gold and silver?
We call it pirate money. You got the arg? All right.
That's the answer. And that's what we're here to help promote your liberty, security, and your values. Listen to us at AFR.net or PirateMoneyRadio.com, wherever you get your podcasts. We're here to help you share this with as many people as you can. This is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Till next week,